Awesome. So it is my privilege to welcome up some of our youth who are going to speak. And first up, we have an awesome young lady. She is a leader in our youth group, and she is smashing it. She is like a relatively new Christian, and she's just killing it with all her youth. She looks after them, and she does an awesome job on Friday. So why don't you give it up for Kieran as she comes up to speak.
Thanks, Josh. Isn't it good to be in church?
Yes.
So good. Okay, I'm just going to go straight into it. I hope that's okay. And I'm sorry for youth, you've already heard this. Blame Josh, last minute. Why am I alive? Will I ever find love? What if people don't like who I am? Why am I this way? Will I ever get a promotion? What career do I want? What is my purpose? I can guarantee that every person here has asked themselves one of these questions. Or at least you're going to ask it sometime soon. When we ask these questions, we tend to focus on ourselves. However, that's where we're going wrong. We ask ourselves, what do I want to be? What should I do with my life? What are my goals? But focusing on ourselves will never reveal our life's purpose. We have tried to fulfill our life with purpose. If it's focusing on getting the perfect relationship, the healthiest marriage, if it's raising the greatest kids, or getting the poshest house. But we did not create ourselves, right? So how can we know what we're created for? You must begin with God. He is your creator. You were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. The title of my message tonight is A Life Driven by Purpose. Have you ever been so caught up in something that you think is your purpose, that you have focused so much on and put all your time and effort towards, to find out that that's not your purpose and God actually has something bigger and better for you? This was the case for me. I was so heavily involved in netball to the point that every day I would either play, train, or coach or umpire netball. The only day I had spare was Sundays, unless, of course, I was at a netball tournament. My life was dedicated to netball, to the point that the courts became my second home. I was so passionate about netball that I thought I would be the next Silver Fern. However, one day that all changed. I injured my ankle really badly during a game. Since then, I had to wear a moon boot for 8 weeks. I had to buy really ugly shoes that were so expensive, only 3 pairs that costed $1,000. Since then, my ankle was not healed. However, with this coming about, I couldn't play netball anymore. I couldn't pursue my passion and my purpose. But because I played on Fridays, and I was no longer allowed to play on Fridays, I was able to attend youth. This is where God came into my life and changed it for the better. Without him intruding on my life, I wouldn't be able to share the good news of the gospel. I wouldn't be able to tell you how much God loves me. I wouldn't be able to tell you how much God loves you. I wouldn't be able to be here, standing here, sharing that your life has a purpose, and so does mine. I can't even imagine my life without God and without his grace saving me. If you're taking notes, my first point is you're not an accident. You're made for a purpose. Let me repeat that. You're not an accident. You're made for a purpose. Galatians 1 verse 15. But even before you were born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him. Your birth was no mistake or mishap. Your life isn't a fluke. Your parents may or may not have planned you, but God did. God planned you. King David wrote in Psalms 139, verse 14 to 16, "You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how it was made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. The days of my life all appeared before I even did, or I even lived one day." God never does anything accidental. He never makes mistakes. He has a purpose for everything he creates. Everything that comes into existence has a purpose, and I mean everything. Trees, animals have purposes, and so do you. I think I have a next slide. Okay, the trees, their purpose is to give us oxygen and to give us breath, to let us breathe, right? Animals, this is my dog, Charlie. I love him so much. But his purpose is to give us companion. He's like our companion and give us company and show us that we're loved. And when I was thinking about this, it relates to God. Like God breathed life into us and he is our companion and he will always love us. I want you to tell your neighbor that I am not an accident, but I am made for a purpose. My second point is look past the pain to see your purpose. I feel like there is a lot of people here tonight that are allowing the pain of their past to stop them from moving towards God's purpose for their life. I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. Never allow the pain of your past to pollute your perspective of your future. There are people in my life, close to me, that have told me, "You'll never be able to do that. You're not smart enough." I've even heard the words, "You're going to hell," spoken over my life. However, I have not allowed these words or the pain pollute my perspective of the future, nor have I let it get in the way of God's plan for me. As Eleanor was saying this morning about limiting God, don't let the pain limit God's purpose for you. My favorite Bible verse is Romans 8, verse 18. "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us." A life driven by purpose. I have not allowed the pain in the past to get in my way of where I am going with my purpose. My purpose is driving my life. My third point tonight is you're here for God's purpose. Proverbs 16, verse 19. "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." This resembles my situation with the netball. I thought I had the plan. I planned it out. However, God intervened in my life. Although I was going to become a silver fern, God steps into my life without me even knowing and creates a path so I would be put on track to his purpose for me. Proverbs 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. There are a lot of things holding us back from realizing that there is more than just the here and now. Maybe you're not doing too well financially, or just focusing on making it through the week. Or you have kids that you need to feed and clothe, and they're proving to be more than difficult this week. And you're wondering, how is God going to come through? Or a breakup has left you feeling pretty empty, and you know and you feel like the world has no light left. Or things aren't going right at home, and you just can't live in that place anymore. Maybe things are going good for you. Or you have a solid job that you can save up to buy a house. Or you can go on a shopping spree because you can afford to splash out on yourself. These things are all about the here and the now. We can't bring our 60-inch TV with us to heaven. By focusing on the present, and our plans shifts us away from focusing on God's purpose for us. Even though we have plans and think that we will be the next Richie McCaw or the owner of Apple, God's plans and purpose for us will prevail. There is nothing that can stop God. He is our creator, and he won't allow his purpose to not go through. He will make a way. So why am I alive? Because God loves me, and God loves you, and he has a purpose for your life. Will I ever find love? Do you know what? You already have love. Someone who loves you more than anyone, and I mean anyone, and that's God. He will provide for you in his timing. What if people don't like who I am? That's not the point, because God likes you, and you are his child. Why am I this way? Because you are made for a purpose. You are made in the image of God, and that's the unique purpose for your life. Why do bad things only seem to happen to me? Stop focusing on the pain in your past, and you will see the wonders God has placed in front of you. Yes. I challenge you to realize that you're here for a reason. You are not a mistake. And never let the pain stop you from moving towards God's purpose for your life. Thank you. Now I would like to invite Sui.
Wasn't that good? Can we have another round of applause for Karen? My name's Samuel, as Karen said, and basically I'm just going to be talking to about you guys about something that's happened in my life, started this year. So yeah, this year for me has been one of my toughest years for me, with so many incidents going on in my life that's really, you know, challenged me with my faith and challenged me with my walk in God this year. And over the past 6 months, I've been going through some battles and conflict, and I'm just going to briefly talk to you about one of those that I feel more strongly to talk to you about. Basically, these conflicts, as silly as it sounds, aren't the ones you have with your parents about staying on your phone at night 15 minutes or longer, or whoever has the most likes on your Facebook picture with your school friends. But no, these battles involve the side that I wish no one would want to experience, because, yeah, they leave you in a different place. But don't get me wrong, I'm not up here to make you feel sorry for me or tell me what everyone else says by saying it's all going to end soon. But I'm up here to talk to you about my experiences, the stupid mistakes I've done, and how to avoid this if you're going through it or if you know someone who's going through the same thing. The proper name for this is spiritual warfare, and Google's definition says, spiritual warfare is the Christian concept of taking a stand against preternatural evil forces. It is based on the belief in evil spirits which are able to intervene in human affairs. Another one is from a Christian perspective. Spiritual warfare is the cosmic war of good versus evil. Its battles are fought daily between God and Satan, between the Christian church and the world system ruled by our spiritual enemy, and within every child of God, between the Holy Spirit and the lust of carnal flesh. The clear meanings of good and evil are defined by God rather than men, are revealed within the verses of the Holy Bible and the life of Jesus Christ. These definitions are all good, don't get me wrong, but in my opinion, the definition of this really is when the enemy tries to start a battle with you, even though they know they're not going to win, because they know God has a massive plan for your life that's going to take down the enemy, so he is scared and he's going to do everything he can to stop you from achieving God's plans. Deuteronomy 28 verse 7 says, the Lord will cause your enemies who arise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. My first encounter was one night I was texting on a school night around 11:30 at night. Yeah, I know, pretty rebel if you can say me. But anyway, I was up and I just heard a rattling noise on my floor, and I just assumed it was our cat. So I just continued to do my stuff. And then it got louder, like there was someone in my room just walking around. And at this point, I kind of started to get, you know, a little bit anxious. Heart started to beat a bit faster, wondering what it was. So I stopped what I was doing, but then the noise just stopped. So I was like, all right. So I was carrying on what I was doing, and then suddenly I felt something was tickling my leg. And then it continued to go up to my leg. And then suddenly it like started to grab my leg and tried to pull me off my bed. Instantly, I just froze, kicked my leg up, and then just started, just crawled into a ball and freaked out. And whatever was, just had a spasm in my room, sounded like something was in my room, running around, crashing all over. And I just started to say Jesus' name over and over till the noise stopped. I just lay in bed, shaking, too scared to do, too scared what to do, because I've never been through this before. So I finally got the courage to turn on my light, and that's when I came face to face with absolutely nothing. The room looked exactly the same. So I picked up my phone and did what any boy would do and run to the bathroom and stood on that white beautiful bowl and just cried. Not sure how long, must have been 45 minutes or so, but I can tell you I've never been so scared in my life. Basically, got told I needed to go wake up my parents and tell them what happened. So I went in their room, told them what happened. My dad rolled over, told me I was dreaming and go back to sleep. So what a fat lot of useless he was. But anyway, oh, jeepers. Long story short, I moved all my stuff into a spare room and I just camped there overnight, shaking, scared, didn't know what to think. It was just an absolute mess. And if you could think that was bad, I had to go to school the next day, which was pretty difficult because I hadn't had any sleep and I just couldn't get out of my head what had happened. My parents started to take what had happened more seriously, and we talked to family friends who had more experience through the stuff than we did. And in a meeting, went through the stuff and basically got told that I had an encounter with a demon, and that's why he grabbed my leg. Now, basically, my first mistake was when I was sitting on the toilet, I was on my phone and I searched up symptoms of an attack just to see if it really was true. I went through the list and there was only two things that weren't true for me of what had happened. But seeing these symptoms really scared me and really freaked me out even more. But I ended up getting prayed for with oil and my room got prayed for, and going back in that room really put me out of my comfort zone because I really didn't want to go in there again. But after this, my life definitely didn't go back to the same. To this very day, I've still had small reminders or small things that remind me of what happened. And don't get me wrong, I'm not possessed or anything. I'm the complete opposite, as I'm filled with the love of Jesus. James 4 verse 7 says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. One of the things that made it really hard for me is I lacked the knowledge on what to do and how to bounce back and press into God more. So I've come up with a list of top 5 do nots to help break the enemy's attack. Number 1 is, do not forget who made you. God created you with storms in mind. He has equipped you, and you're going to get through them and make it out of it through him. Number 2 is, do not forsake the time and place of prayer. Two things are vital to a successful prayer life, a time and place and a place of prayer. Number 3, do not forsake the place of power. The church is a place of power. Coming here just helps you press and more focus onto God. Number 4 is, do not forsake the power of partnership. It's good to be around people who have lived longer, done more than you, and can give you wise advice. Number 5 is, do not disconnect from pastoral protection. I've seen often people, whether it's my friends or people I know, they're going through the same thing as me, and I want to pull them close and help them, but they refuse. So don't wait until your enemy is tearing you down to pieces to seek the aid of those and pastoral role in your life. Also, I had a very weak Bible and prayer game where I didn't have the motivation to read my Bible and pray daily with the Almighty One. So my spirit was very weak, which made it for an easier target for them to get. And thinking about it now, I kind of did ask for this as I got prayer about praying more and reading the Bible. So this was basically God putting me through a test for me to grow my faith and spirit in Him. Last thing is, why spiritual warfare happens. Let me tell you, God has a plan for each and every one of you sitting here, whether you're a leader of this church or you've been coming to this church for many years, or even if it's your first time here, and welcome, by the way. But seriously, the reason why these battles happen is because, as I said at the start, the devil knows how much you're going to impact and trouble the devil by things like saving your friends, talking to non-Christians about God, and even just sitting here tonight. So he tries to do everything in his way to stop you from achieving God's plan. So it's important for you to remain strong in your faith, read your Bible, and stay on top of your faith. I'll finish off with a few scriptures, and then I'm done. The first is 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine powers to destroy strongholds. You see, Adam and Eve experienced the first human battle with Satan in the garden, and because of their fall, he has continued to try and destroy mankind ever since. Even though we have been in a cosmic war ever since the beginning of time, God has provided us with what we need to defeat our enemy. This verse is important because it explains that our weapons of warfare are not the normal ones. Rather, they have divine power to destroy anything that Satan throws against us. The second is Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. God loves us so much, and in this verse he is warning us of our greatest enemy, the devil. He points out that we are indeed in a battle, and we must clothe ourselves with the appropriate armor. If we do, then we will be able to stand against the enemy. Fighting a spiritual battle can be daunting to us as Christians, but the Lord wants to encourage us in every possible way. He gives us the weapons that we need to win the war, as well as the reminder that he's ultimately in control of things. All of this can be summed up in one verse and found in Deuteronomy 20:1. It states, "When you go out to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army larger than your own, you shall not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." God loves and cares for us so much, and he encourages us to approach any spiritual warfare unafraid and with a victorious attitude. So sweet, that was me. And now, I just want to invite up Ewan, who's also going to share an amazing word.
Just a shout out to Sam. He did a great job. Yeah sweet as. Hi. Today I'm just going to share my testimony and talk about poverty with you guys. Unless you don't know me, my name's Ewan. I've been going to City Church for about a year. It's truly changed my life. I gave my life to God at Year 10 camp under really unusual circumstances. Before Year 10 camp, I always thought that being a Christian was too much work. It seemed like something that I just wasn't a part of. I always saw these Christians at our school, but I never understood why they believed what they did. At Finlay Park for Year 10 camp, it was the last night, we had a guest speaker. He explained this sort of God thing, the Bible, in a way that I could truly understand. At the end, he offered to talk to us if we wanted to stay behind. Me and about 20 other boys stood behind and asked some really in-depth questions. He explained them really well, and it just gave me such a great understanding about God and made me think, like, what am I doing with my life and who is this God that he is talking about? This person had a broken hand, and so we decided to pray for it to heal. This was one of the really tough guys and popular guys in our year, and out of nowhere, he just started crying. At first, all the people in the room were really confused, and then we felt it. There was a presence in the room, one that can only be described as loving. It was a confusing moment for me, but I knew that that would be the moment that changed my life forever. I became introduced to the church by Joe and Sean, shout out, who were my soccer coaches. Thanks for putting up with me. This church has been the fertile soil of my faith that Jesus refers to in Matthew 13. This stage that I'm standing on has taught me so much about the Creator, and it is the reason that I have a relationship with God right now. This year, my school gave me the opportunity to go on a mission trip. And it's something that I've wanted to do for a while, so I took it. In the Solomon Islands, I got a completely different perspective on God and life. One thing that shocked me is how cheerful the people were. These people were on top of the world, like nothing could ruin their mood. This surprised me because these people lived off bare minimum and lacked food to eat. Yet I get angry when my phone runs out of battery. It really shows you that the simple things in life are often the best. The kids in the Solomon Islands were just so excited for the things that we take for granted in New Zealand, like education, because many of their siblings weren't able to get a proper education because their families could only choose one of their children to put through. That was a sad story to hear from many of the young people, but they just took it for granted, and I mean, we just take it for granted, and it's just something that you don't understand is really, really a blessing. They always held their Bibles close to them and let God lead their lives. What really shook me is whenever I'd ask what these kids wanted to do with their lives, they would always say, "It's up to God." It really shocked me because they just didn't care. They could have been a rubbish man if God wanted them to be. Because they wanted to live a life that's led by God. They didn't care about material possessions. They taught me about kindness, appreciation, and that God is with you wherever you go. We went over there to spread the word of God, but these high school students taught us more than we could have ever expected. God talks about the poor in Matthew 5, verse 3. "Blessed are those poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I never really understood that verse before I went over, but it shows once you arrive in this third world country. It is often thought that mission trips are too difficult, but while it does physically drain you, the reward is far superior to the mild discomfort. Perhaps the thing that surprised me the most was the hospitality that they showed us. While we brought gifts and food, they were insistent that we had the best that they could offer. The students really became friends with all of our missionaries. Cain, who has a brother called Abel, he became really good friends with my friend called Bernard. He was insistent that Bernard needed the best food that he could possibly find for breakfast. So at 2 a.m., Cain went down to the ocean to do some diving. He caught a crayfish and cooked it for Bernard for breakfast. This act of kindness was not asked for. He just did it out of the kindness of his heart. I believe that these people are so kind because they have such a strong faith. They keep Hebrews 13, verse 2 in mind. "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers." Another example of this is the principal of the school, Alan. He brought our teacher a coconut. This kind gesture was enjoyed, but only later on in the day did we realize that he climbed the tree himself. We were shocked that our guest, around the age of 40 years old, had just climbed a coconut tree so that his guests felt more comfortable. Riches are something that is motivation in New Zealand, and we are so exposed to. We never really appreciate what we have because we are so determined to get more. Yet the people in the Solomon Islands weren't pushing for physical wealth, but spiritual wealth. These people pushed through the bad times with God. Much worse times than us, hunger, famine, disease, and they always come out the other side just as happy as when they went in. While, yes, our lives as Christians are going to be difficult, for the road of faith is a windy one, If we put the amount of faith in God that these people have, then we would do much better off. This idea that wealth isn't just money in your pocket that makes you, and really makes you think, who are the real people in need? Next time that there is an opportunity for you to go on a mission trip, I would highly recommend that everyone sign up. It is a life-changing opportunity that strengthens your faith. Having God in my life has changed everything. I look back before camp, and I lived so boring. With God there, I am more motivated to do things, and I've never been so happy. Thanks to many people sitting down here, including Josh and all the people who came to the Solomon Islands with me. My faith is built around you guys. While my relationship with God is far from perfect and needs working on, I can still say that giving my life to God was the best thing that I ever did. Thank you very much.